Welcome to another Book on the Shelf podcast. I'm Det.
And I'm Jen.
We're on episode 138.
Man.
That's, even if we just only talked about one book per episode, mm-hmm. even though we've obviously talked about multiple books on some episodes, that's a lot of books.
It is a lot of books.
Man. Wild. Wild. We've sort of ended up in this, like, January, we do, like, a graphic novel, and I'm here for that. I'm loving it.
Yeah, same.
Love it.
Yeah, always.
So this time we're talking about Flung Out of Space, inspired by the Indecent Adventures of Patricia Highsmith, by Grace Ellis and illustrated by Hannah Templer. It came out in 2022. I love this so much.
Same.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
just all the things. Right? We're just getting, like, really good at picking books that we like.
I know, right? Like, truly.
But yeah, so it's kind of different because it's, like, biography, nonfiction, but, like, fiction?
Yes. Yeah, because it's, yeah, it's like a,
yeah.
like a imagining of her life, kind of.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about the author and illustrator.
All right. So, Grace Ellis made a name for herself in the industry by creating unforgettable, lovable, and funny characters. I don't know why I had so much trouble saying that. So, she sort of made her debut on the comic scene with The Lumberjanes, which she co-created and co-wrote. It was a New York Times best-selling Eisner and GLAAD award-winning comic series that broke the mold of both YA and superhero comics. So that's extremely cool.
I've definitely seen it, like, while I've been scrolling on Hoopla.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely have heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
So she's also the author and creator of the series Moonstruck, which was illustrated by Hachey Beagle, and writer of the series Lois Lane and the Friendship Challenge for DC Comics. She currently lives in Columbus, Ohio. And then Hannah Templer is a queer cartoonist and a graphic designer. In addition to writing and drawing Cosmo Nights, she's the artist for Glow. Like the Netflix?
I think so, yeah.
Series? Interesting.
Right, because it says, like, IDW Publishing and Netflix.
Yeah.
So, like, is Glow the TV show based on a graphic novel, maybe?
Oh my god, I need to know now.
Right?
Yeah. But anyway, she's also worked as a colorist, cover artist, and interior artist on well-known titles such as Samurai Jack, Tomb Raider, and Gem and the Holograms. She enjoys life with her trusty dog, Thistle, and grumpy cat, Noodle, which is just okay. And plays tabletop role-playing games as often as she can. I love, love, love when artists and illustrators put in little things like this in their bio. Like, it just, I find it delightful.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, and it's just like, I get the whole, like, ew, professional, but I also want people to be real humans.
Right.
You know? Like, even if, you know, just, like, I'm trying to think of some kind of, like, big important book where it's like, oh, you know, this author, you know, like, a serious author. But it's like, yeah, but I want you to be a person, like.
I know, right?
I would be more inclined to read your serious, deep book.
Yeah.
If I was like, oh, no, yeah, but no, like, you're real, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Glow, the comic, is based on the show.
Ah.
Yeah. But anyway, it is that one. That's the one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, man, I'm like, Gem and the Holograms? Oh, wait, are you too young for Gem and the Holograms?
I mean, I know about Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had, like, the dolls.
Did you?
Well, and, like, so they're, like, bigger than Barbies.
Amazing.
And, which, I mean, I feel like they probably somewhat did on purpose because, like, you couldn't, you know, share clothes or whatever. But, right. like, her earrings, like, flashed and lit up.
Cause she was, like, oh, fun.
Yeah. I don't know if I had any of the holograms, but I definitely had Gem.
That's amazing.
But back to Flung Out of Space. So, Ellis and Templar have teamed up to tell Patricia Highsmith's story through her eyes, reimagining the events that inspired her to write The Price of Salt, the book that would become a foundational piece of queer literature. Flung Out of Space opens with Pat begrudgingly writing lowbrow comics. A drinker, a smoker, and a hater of life, Pat knows she can do better. Her brain turns with images of the great novel she could and should be writing. Oof. what eventually will become Strangers on the Train, which obviously is turned into the Hitchcock film. At the same time, she is a lesbian consumed with self-loathing and is in and out of conversion therapy, leaving a trail of sexual conquests and broken hearts in her wake. However, one of those very affairs and a chance encounter at a department store give Pat her idea for the soon-to-be beloved tale of homosexual love that was the first of its kind. It gave the lesbian protagonist a happy ending. This is not just the story behind the classic queer book, but also of a queer artist who is deeply flawed. It is a comic about what it's like to write comics in the 1950s, but also about what it means to be a writer at any time of history, struggling to find your voice. And they do note that, obviously, Patricia Highsmith is both an unintentional queer icon and a figure whose problematic views and noted anti-Semitism have cemented her controversial legacy. Highsmith's life imitated her art, with results as devastating as the plot twist that brought her fame and fortune. We read The Talented Mr. Ripley when I was in university for my, like, film and literature something class. Like, one of my, like, first year, like, film classes or whatever. So that was kind of, like, the first... I don't think I've read anything else, though, by Patricia Highsmith.
I did read The Price of Salt a while back. Probably around the same time that Carol came out, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I was well, it was so funny because, like, before we chose this book, so for New Year's Eve, LOL, fun times. I went to my friends, and we usually, like, watch a movie and then, like, watch the ball drop, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what – we were trying to decide what movie to watch. And we were going to go with May, December or something else. And the other one was for sure going to be sad. And then – so we watched May, December instead, which is, like, really good but also, like, so creepy.
Oh, really?
Well, because it's, like, inspired by Mary Kay Letourneau and the whole, like, 30-something-year-old woman having an affair with the 13-year-old boy and getting married and having kids and living life and whatever.
Right.
And it's more just that, like, it always – and, like, shout out to Natalie Portman. Like, it just always feels like you're just constantly waiting for, like, the shoe to drop kind of a thing. You're just like,
right,
oh my god, is this gonna get, like, super weird and creepy and sexual or whatever? But, like, you don't know, and it's just because, like, nothing really like, it's just, you know, a classic drama. But so we were talking about that, and my friend's friend was asking, like, about the director, and she was like, oh yeah, like, the one of, like, the most recent ones was Carol. And I was like, okay, yeah. So, like, we were just, it was kind of, like, on my head, in my head, and then we started this and then reading this, and I was like, wait, I was just talking about this, and then, like, now know, like, the whole history behind that movie. And I was like, oh, man, that was cool.
I know, right? Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, I really liked this.
Yeah, I really liked it, too. I didn't really know very much about Patricia Highsmith, like...
Same. And that's what it was. Like, it was just, as I always do, going in blind. Because you just always see, like, mostly her, those, like, Ripley-esque mystery thriller, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't even think I realized that Strangers on a Train was...
I did not realize either, her, to be honest. I didn't. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I knew, obviously, Price of Salt, and I knew The Talented Mr. Ripley. But, yeah, I didn't realize Strangers on a Train was her.
Because I feel like
she's wild.
I think she has, like, so many, too, right? Like,
yeah, right? I don't know what else she's written, but...
Prolific.
But, well, there's a bunch of Ripley ones, right?
I think there might be, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a few.
Yeah. But I do know that the book is slightly different from the movie. Or at least the ending.
Okay, interesting.
And that was just, like, because we talked about it in class, and there were some people who definitely watched
the movie. Only watched the movie?
Didn't finish the book.
That's hilarious. I love that.
Well, I like that it like started with that forward of like, just so you know, fully acknowledging that
Yes.
technically she was not a great human.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think I wasn't even realizing like at what time she existed.
Yeah, same.
Or like even, you know, like when Ripley would have come out or like all of this stuff. So like it wasn't, not that it's like a pass or anything, but obviously certain things make slightly more sense just because of the time. But then like how that then plays into her life and all the stuff with that was like really cool.
Yeah, right.
I was hooked on the very first page from like a graphic novel
Yes,
standpoint.
right?
Cause it's like all darkness, but she's trying to like flick her like
She's,
Zippo
yeah,
lighter and
yes.
it's just doing the like snick, snick, like for the sound and like
Yeah.
with and I
With like little sparks on
right
the
there, I was
black
like
panel. Yeah,
sold.
really cool.
Oh my God.
Really, really cool.
Like one of
Yeah.
my like favorite pages of a graphic novel ever.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, and the text bubbles just like floating in the black. Yeah. Yeah, really good. Well, and she seems like she's just like always picking up women.
Yes.
Even though she's trying to also not be gay at the same time.
Yeah, like I felt like it must have been such an internal struggle, obviously. But just, or I think it was the way that they showed it was really good. Like, she's like a highly sexual person and really loves women, but then also, like, knows she's not supposed to, knows it's not the time, like, in the existence of timelines for that. So, like, she is trying not to, but because she's so, like, unapologetically herself, she like
Yes.
it's like she's going to the therapy, but like she clearly doesn't actually. It's not like she's really trying because she just
Right.
like.
Like other than like that one guy that she like ends up engaged to.
And it's just such a like, yeah, I guess I should marry Mark.
Which,
Mer,
yeah, she hates.
yeah. And then like immediately constantly like picking up another woman. You're just like,
Yeah, oh
yes.
my God. Yeah.
I love too, just because, like, obviously, again, because it's about a writer, all of that stuff was just, you know, she would go home from the bar and then, like, write. And then all of the stuff with, like, the, like, I feel like I just want to learn more about her history. Because, like, there's all the comic book stuff too. So, like, where she's writing.
Yeah.
And she's writing, like, B movie scripts and stuff. And clearly having an affair with her editor's wife.
Yes.
And he just seemed so clueless to it, and like that just made me so happy for some reason. Just like, yeah, get it, get it. But then like, she like meets Stan Lee,
Know that
as
was
in
crazy. I was like, wait
Stan
a minute,
Lee.
the Stan Lee? Like,
Well, because like I totally forgot because I had listened to like a history, like a book that's
okay.
like the history of Marvel basically,
Yeah.
and yeah, like when they were talking about Timely Comics, like that was, I was like, oh man. That was like a real thing. Like, it's like, that's so cool. Well, then, even
Yeah.
just like when she, there's a few panels where like she's like, you know, walking and thinking, but she has her like, there's sort of like, not thought bubbles, but like kind of like her clearly like thinking of her story. So that she has her like, you know, crime, you know, probably like the strangers on a train, like murder or whatever. And then also it cuts to like, other ones where it's like superheroes fighting and like
Yeah.
I was just I want to write comic books and mystery thrillers.
I know, right? Yeah, I really like the way they did that with like her, like the thoughts of the book, sort of like, yeah. Not in like a thought bubble, but like in a, don't even know how to explain it.
Like a jagged corner of the panel.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like in a way that you obviously could tell that she was thinking about her story. And the way that it just sort of contrasts the rest of kind of the color palette of like there's one, it's page, what page is this actually? It's 40 on my
Oh yeah, I have that on.
Hoopla.
Yeah, that's, I have that mark too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, this is when she's hanging out with Stan Lee, right?
Yeah.
And so you have like little, like the two of them sort of around the apartment in different spots.
Yes.
But then you can see her thought bubble all in black, of like obviously thinking of one of her stories, and then his thought bubble in the sort of like more orangey
Yeah.
and white and brown, that's like very superhero-y.
Yeah. It feels very like pow. Good
Yeah,
job. Yeah.
it's just very cool. I like that contrast.
Well, and even that whole page, it gives the like, you know, in a film where it would be like a montage of you like, okay, they're sitting at the kitchen table talking. Oh no, they're sitting over there. Oh, they're standing by the window. Oh, there's like that like rapid cutting, but it's all in like a single, well, not it's a double page, but like one panel. Like it's not it's not even like cut into like separate spots. It's all just you see them like four times around her apartment. So you get that movement. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool too. Also, I love that the other guy that's there is clearly just sitting with the cat the entire time.
Yeah. Well, because like he's her coworker that like clearly like really likes her and like might also like her, but she just like never gives a shit about him
No.
because she's just like so mean to everyone she
She
works
really is.
which also I kind of love.
So funny.
But you
But yeah, I really, really liked that panel. And like, yeah, I really like the whole color palette of this.
Yeah, because some people, because like, just like the black, gray, orange, brown, white. Because I like read a lot that have had like a minimal, you know, like we did junior high, so that was basically just there was some red and some blue, which then would sometimes commingle into purple. And like, yeah, I've definitely read like others where it's like a black and like a bright minty color, or but this one's it still kind of had like levels of like shades of orange and like shades of black and yeah, something about the orange, I don't know. Yeah, it just
Yeah,
like
I
made
liked it.
it something, I don't know. Because obviously, like orange had to have been like a choice, right? Because like obviously the black and everything, but like that specific the other color like had to be a choice. So like, why orange?
Yeah, I don't
It
know.
worked. I like it. I'm just trying to.
It really worked. I also really liked it. See, color is always one of those things that I want to go back and look at more closely when I'm.
Yeah.
'Cause like it's like at the first time through anything, you're kind of just doing it for story. And then afterwards I'm like, wait, what's the color pattern here?
Well, yeah, and like I know when we were talking about something is killing the children, right? Like there's a bit of a color pattern, and there were certain times where it flipped. I can't remember now because it's been a while. And it was like almost all dark with like one other color, and like it wasn't something that, you know, like every time she was like killing a monster, like there was a certain thing whenever it happened, like the color palette switched. And I love that kind of stuff of like, and just like that, right? Like sometimes you don't notice it, but then when you go back, you're like, oh. Yeah, so I'm just like. Which again, like as we said, like every time her thoughts were either about superhero comic stuff, it was much more oranges, and then like when it was her murder mysteries, it was just like black.
Yeah, which is so cool.
When I liked her quote too, like she likes to write about murder because it's interesting because it's so intimate as like a punishment. And I was like, oh, that's true.
Right? Such an interesting way of looking at it. Also, I loved her cat.
Well, it's just like doing its thing, or like, you know, at the one point where she's like playing with her engagement ring and it's just like knocking it over and like throwing crap on the floor all the well, I love also too that there's just that like internal debate of like she has to have money, so that's why she kind of writes those like B movie scripts and like the comics and stuff, and then why she actually kind of double dips and does start working for Stan Lee. While still working,
For Timely Comics, or if not for Timely Comics, for the other place.
yeah, because she just like needs money, and then again because she needs that for her therapy and stuff, but also like she doesn't put her actual name on any of that stuff because it's not like she wants to be writing real books, you know, like, and I'm like, oh, I get that too. Well, and then, and so she is seeing one therapist, a woman, and she hits on her.
She absolutely hits on her.
Yeah. So then it's like, no. So then she goes to see a male therapist, and that's when it's the like, okay, like we're gonna have like group conversion therapy meetings. And I'm just like, oh,
Yeah.
man. But of course, then like, I love that like she kind of got it right away because like she walked in and it's like a group of women who clearly.
Right, a group of women who are all interested in women.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you're just like, that's such a classic, like,
Conversion
stupid
therapy.
man thing,
Yeah.
right? Too, but it's just like, oh yeah, you guys all talk. It's like, yeah, they're gonna talk all right.
It's just like, it just doesn't make any
I
sense to me
know,
at all.
I don't get it. Like, when something like,
So
where,
funny.
like, it's still happening.
Right. Although this seems like fairly not benign, but like she's signed up for it herself and it doesn't seem like.
Well, and like, I feel like this, you know, when you think of the word like therapy, like that's what this is, right? Like
Right.
she was talking with the therapist and like, okay, yeah, you know, like I should probably marry Mark. That's the right thing to do. You know, not the like wild, awful camps where people have their like eyes taped open and have to watch things and whatever, like that stuff, like that, like just, I don't know how we got
Right.
there so quickly. But yeah, this at least just really looks like them talking and like not necessarily like doing anything about it. Other than a bunch of like women who had similar interests, not like that, but like that. who probably just also now finally had an excuse to like hang out with women and talk about stuff,
Right.
which they also like definitely couldn't do then.
Yeah.
But then that's where she meets Virginia.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Who's the inspiration for Carol of
Yes.
the book slash movie.
Yeah, because it's the same, like the whole thing with her daughter, too, right? Of
Yeah.
like not wanting to lose custody and.
Yeah. And yeah, like
Yeah.
because I think in like real life, the husband had some sort of like tape of her, and like he was using that to like get custody, and like, yeah, it was a whole like crappy, crappy thing in real life.
Right?
Yeah. Well, there's a whole thing too where like at that point in time, like everybody thought like comics were bad for you.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's like back when they thought that novels were bad for you. Like, back in, like, I guess, like Jane Austen's era, where they were like, oh,
Yeah.
or like even in Little Women, right? Where it's like novels are like,
Yeah, like, ooh,
corrupting their
reading.
mind. Oh my
Yeah.
goodness. Yeah. And then, yes, people thought that comics were bad for you and like, again, corrupting people's minds. Like, same thing, just they blame something else. Like, the whole satanic panic in the 80s. Like,
But yeah, like, after she, at some point in there, like, she finishes Strangers on a Train and gets it to her agent who is able to sell it. So, like, that's really cool. And there's like clearly a bit of like a time jump in there because we see the book come out and it turn into a movie. I also really liked when she went on the date with Mark, but then took home the pianist.
Right. Oh, man.
Because like I just like she just seemed like so cool, and again, like just she was doing her thing and she knows who she was and what she liked, and like all of this stuff, even just like the therapy or whatever, it was she was doing that because she was kind of supposed to. So like almost like if someone asked her
Yeah.
about it, she'd be like, no, like it's okay, like I'm going to therapy. But like really, I mean, yeah, you know, anti-Semitic remarks aside, she just kind of seemed like badass and cool.
Right, if it weren't for all of that.
Yeah. It's just like, man, how do you. Yeah. It's hard to, like. I guess that's the whole, like, art and artist situation that everyone is dealing with every day now because
yeah,
most people we're learning are garbage.
Yeah, right? What's up with that?
I know. But yeah.
But I mean, it's definitely like an interesting look at her life and like.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was right. Like, I just feel like I want to know more, like more, but in the like good, the bad, the ugly, whatever, like just more of her story and like where things ended up and stuff. Because so her typewriter breaks, so she. Oh, she gets a job, like, one of those, like, seasonal Christmas jobs at Bloomingdale's in, like, the toy department or whatever, which seems awful on so many levels.
Oh, God, right?
Oh, man. And it's there where, like, eventually she sees the woman who comes in to, like, buy a doll, and that's kind of, like, the inspiration for The Price of Souls. Oh, and then she had her, oh my god, she had her, like, black book. Because she was with Virginia at one point, and, like, Virginia was, like, looking through her little book, and she, like, had, like, notes on everybody. Like, oh my god. Because she was also, like, sleeping with her agent's partner.
She just was having affairs all around, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, and then obviously, like, kind of, like, the last half or last chunk is all about, so she does finish The Price of Salt, and I think it was originally, like, the Bloomingdale story, I think. Her agent is just like, it's really great, but, like, I can't sell it, and I won't sell it. Like, it's just not going to be a thing. And then she's going, you see her, like, I really like those pages where she's going into all the different offices, and they're, like, slightly different. Great. And, of course, like,
and the bubbles, the speech bubbles were different.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like, but the way that it was like lined up, so you saw all of them like going to each office, and then the next page was like talking to all of them, and then the next page was like them all like rejecting whatever. And like a bunch of them liked it, but were like, no, we can't do that.
Right.
And other were just like, obviously, absolutely not. But then I totally, like, obviously, because we didn't exist then. But so she does find a publisher who does want to publish it, but he wants to publish it in their like pulp division.
Yeah.
And I feel like I just like totally forgot that that was a thing, that like,
right?
There was this weird separate division to publish, you know, the weird books, which are like now obviously just the normal.
Yeah.
Just books.
Yeah, like, pulp would have been all the sort of, like, yeah, like, mystery, horror.
Yeah, anything too sexy, sci-fi, too violent, or, too weird, too alien, too, like, yeah.
Well, like, the Italian horror subgenre, giallo, comes from the yellow covers of, like, pulp books. Yeah,
I feel like I just want to, like, look up that stuff and like find more of those books. But eventually she does decide to publish it there, but under a pseudonym.
Yeah.
And she wants to call it Carol, but they call it The Price of Salt.
Yes.
And then, and even just like where, so like after all that, she's in a bar and like hitting on a woman, and the woman is like, oh my god, like, I love that, like, she talks about the book, and she's like, oh my god, I love that, and she's like, oh yeah, no, like, I wrote that, and she's like, ugh, no, that was written by Claire Morgan, like, nice try. And I was like, oh man, even just on like the writer like pseudonym side of things, I was like, oh damn it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So funny.
But then in 1989 it was released as just a novel, and it was renamed Carol. And it was under Patricia Highsmith. And I think she wrote, like, a little afterword or a foreword or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I just thought it was, like, a really good sort of I don't know. I just feel like I want to know more about Patricia Highsmith, pulp novels, comics of the time, just all of that. It just makes me want to read more books, basically.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
When I, 'cause I think I've, so I've, 'cause I've read a few graphic novels that are like,
Biography or like
yeah, so
sort of?
like the Andy Warhol one, I feel like is fairly biographical.
Okay.
And then I have one on Basquiat as well. And then I'm trying to think. I have one that's about Henry David Thoreau, but it's fictional, almost in a LOL. Drinking game in a like Paper House's Emily Dickinson
Okay,
way.
yeah.
This guy's in France, he's French. And he like talks to Henry David Thoreau, like he kind of
Okay.
floats around him. And it's all about environmentalism and stuff, which is very because of the transcendentalists and nature and stuff like that. But yeah, like whereas this is that kind of, I guess we don't really like it reads as biographical, but like they say that it's again like the inspired by kind of thing, so like we don't totally know, but obviously I feel like there has to have been enough research and history like into it so like it's not wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's probably just, I mean, like all of these conversations that she's having with people are imagined conversations, right? Unless she wrote about them specifically, line for line of dialogue, what was happening,
Yeah,
that
like
it
all
has to be imagined.
the events happened because there's like corroborated somehow, but then all of the dialogue is made up. Which I like too, which I mean, that's basically every biopic that's ever been
Exactly.
made.
Yeah, that's just how it has to go. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was very interesting.
It definitely made me want to like read more by Grace Ellis.
Yeah, right?
Just kind of like see other things that she makes. And also like now I want to like read more Patricia Highsmith from that like number one, like just 'cause like she is really good at that kind of mystery type books. But then also from the like okay, when did this book come out? What is the like subtext? Is she being awful here for this reason? Or like, yeah, just right, because like I don't believe in canceling. I feel like I just need to like learn more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and I mean, especially with writers and artists who are no longer alive. Like, you know what I mean? She's no longer benefiting from having my money, so that's fine.
Well, and too, like clearly she was going through so much stuff internally. So just to like, some of the things were probably like coming out as, well, and even just like why she was so like promiscuous. Often people, if they can't do one thing, then they overdo or like whatever that thing is. But yeah, I literally read it in like an hour.
Oh yeah, it read so quickly.
Because I had read like a few pages, like, because like I read the first page and I had to stop because I was just so blown away
Yes, that first
by
page
the
is
little
great.
like snick snick. Oh my God. And then I think I maybe read like, a few more pages another day. And then I sat down and was like, okay, like you have to have this done. You only have a couple days. And I was like going to bed and I was like, okay, well, like if I read for like, an hour, just a little bit. Then I can, finish tomorrow or the next day. And I was just like, all of a sudden it was over. And I was
I know, right?
like, and like, not even because it was a graphic novel or because I can read graphic novels fast. I was just so like, I just wanted to know what happened because I didn't know anything about that book or Patricia Highsmith. So yeah, I was just like, reading super fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very good. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I really enjoyed it. Now I want to read more. I want to read her other books, like Patricia Highsmith's books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because, yeah, there has to be so many. And, well, like, and when I was going through my bookcase, I don't have Ripley anymore.
Oh, you don't.
I do still have some of my books from that class, like one of my Blood Meridian, LOL.
Oh, man.
Baby tree. I'm like, why do I still have that, but not Ripley? But yeah, right? Like, there's just how many? Oh, there is, I think, like a book about her, The
Oh, is
Crime
there?
Writer, yeah, by Jill Dawson.
Hmm.
Interesting. Oh, and there's like a BBC documentary.
Oh, cool.
Highsmith, Her Secret Life. Intrigue. No, but where's her bibliography? Oh, there we go. I'm like, you're telling me about other people's stuff. Oh, 'cause Strangers on a Train was her first like published novel.
Yeah, which is crazy that that's the one that got turned into a Hitchcock film.
Oh wait, this is not listed in actual time order. No, it's not. But yes, that still looks to be the first one. But yeah, like there's like a big chunk here. The Cry of the Owl. Although I guess none of them sound super familiar. But I think, yeah, I think there's, because it's The Talented Mr. Ripley, and there was like Ripley's Game. There's like
Yes, that
a
sounds
good,
familiar.
yeah, like four or five maybe.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, if that one's third in the series. Oh, that's five. There's actually five.
Oh, damn.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I would be interested to
Have you ever
read that.
read The Talented Mr.
I
Ripley?
haven't, no. I've seen The Talented Mr. Ripley ages ago.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that in a long time
Totally. It's
either.
been a very long time since I've seen that.
Yeah.
But no, I never read the book.
I feel like that was such a, like, when that movie came out, like, it was such a time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it was just such a, because, like, it was 1999. It's, like, early Matt Damon, Jude Law. Oh, yeah, because it was Gwyneth and Philip Seymour
Oh, that's
Hoffman and
right.
Cate Blanchett. Like, and because it is kind of like, it does give Saltburn vibes for anyone of,
Fair.
for
I can see
anyone
that.
current watching movies. It definitely gives.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, that does
Yes.
kind of. I mean, less bathtubs, but bathtubs. Yeah, so I'm distracting myself with random saltburnness. It's
I
really
haven't
good.
watched Saltburn yet, but
It's really good.
even just based on the Saltburn trailer, I can see that having
But it's like
similar vibes.
there's just a couple moments where you're like, okay. And like now, like thinking back to Ripley, like there was always that thing of like, you know, who was Ripley interested in, you know.
Right, yes.
I see those vibes now.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. There are gay vibes in that movie.
Which then again, like makes sense, like makes more sense now.
Right.
Because of like her perspective, you know, like it wasn't just like someone writing that because they're like, ooh, whatever. And also because I think that was written in like 1955,
Man.
which is so crazy.
That's wild,
That
eh?
was, I don't think that was anything we ever like talked about in film school when we were reading that, like the books like that. So yeah, I just had, I'm like, okay, this book, sure. But yeah, Patricia Highsmith.
Yeah. Same.
I mean, we could do that as one of our.
Think we might have to.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be really interesting to revisit that film just in general, but then also
Oh, for sure.
now to read the book.
With having the backstory, a little
Yeah.
bit of backstory about Patricia Highsmith. Yeah.
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 Awesome.
Actually, yeah, it's actually wild that she got Carol / The Price of Salt published when she did, to be honest.
Well, and like even under the like pulp side of stuff, right? Because I feel like there still had to have been certain things that were too much for pulp, right? So like it did kind of feel like that guy was really taking a chance just because he really loved the story in the book.
Yeah.
Well, because a bunch of them on one of the people who rejects her is like, this is absolutely amazing, but you have to change the ending. Either one of them has to die or one of them has to go back to her husband.
Yeah.
And he said something because it was like, that's the law. And I was just like.
Yeah, like straight up, they were like, this can't have a happy ending.
Yeah, because at first I was like, oh, like maybe there wasn't a lot of stories about lesbians at that time. It's like, no, those were absolutely allowed, but they had to have a specific ending.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa. That's like almost worse than it like not being allowed. Like,
yeah.
Then like publishing the book is just like completely negating everything. Like, man. Mm-hmm. Or again, making them obviously the villain and dying.
Right. And I mean, there is a lot of tragic queer stories out there. Not even just lesbian stories, but just in general.
Yeah.
Queer stories that end tragically. The happy ending. It's a hard one. So, like, kudos to her for being able to do that when she did.
Did you enjoy Carol?
Yeah, I did. I feel like I don't remember it that well for some reason. I don't know why. I guess it was 8 years ago. But
8 years, that feels like 15, you know.
Yeah.
It's been a wild 8 years at the very least. So
it truly has. I mean, the last like 4 years have felt like a long time, and like it wiped my brain of all information it ever held. So no, but I do remember enjoying it. So yeah. Might have to read it again. I'm sure I still have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I remember when the film came out, like, because like Kate Blanchett and Rooney, like that was right at like the peak, like Rooney Mara too.
Yeah.
And it was nominated for like 6 Oscars or something, I think. Wild. Anyways, yeah.
Kate Blanchett playing a lesbian stays winning.
Always. always. She's just too good. She's just too good.
Yeah. I know, right? I love her.
Amazing. Next episode, we've talked about like a mystery crime author. Now we're going to read a mystery crime book. Let me pull it up here because I totally forget.
That leads in so well.
Right? Yeah, like it kind of
accidentally. Yeah. Somehow we managed to do this, like, where things kind of like go together strangely, and we don't do it on purpose.
Yeah,
we should start pretending we do it on purpose.
Yeah, right? Because we had like last January it was
Lovecraft. Yes.
January.
We read the Victor Laval one.
Ballad of Black Tom.
Yes, and then read the graphic novel that was also based on Lovecraftian.
Fatal, yeah.
Yeah. So funny.
So we're going with The Twist of a Knife by Anthony Horowitz.
Yes.
This isn't really talking about the book at all. It's some kind of murder mystery, whodunit. That kind of a thing. Something. Oh, yeah, there's like a theater critic who's found dead, and there's mysterious circumstances, and then someone can help, and it's a British cozy mystery. Yes.
Amazing. I'm so down for that.
I always hear people talk about those like cozy mysteries and stuff like that. Which are, like, very like Agatha Christie styles.
Nice.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it.
And if you haven't been following, we got our the next book club book that will be coming up soon is also British, lol. We have a few episodes before we get there.
Yes.
Her Majesty's Royal Coven by Juno Dawson, so be sure to read along. That'll come
Yeah.
up in March. And I think we have a bunch of episodes coming up that I'm excited about because we have
Yes, I
the murder
am.
mystery. We're going to do Pale Shadows, which is the sequel to Paper
Yes.
Houses. So now I've said it twice. So for anyone with the drinking game, there you go. So excited. Well, because I needed to reread Paper Houses anyway for like the book that I'm
Okay, yes.
writing. So then now I can reread it and then read Pale Shadows, and it'll be a whole thing. And then we're going to do a James Baldwin as
Yes.
well.
Very
TBD, maybe?
excited.
Did we decide on one? I can't remember. So many choices.
Yeah, I think we're between a couple, but
Yes.
probably an essay collection. Yeah.
But yeah, so the winter podcast, I'm excited.
Me
Which is good
too.
because it's freezing cold and I need
Oh
something
my
to
God, right? It's so cold this week.
something to be excited about. Lots of warm tea, blankets, cozy books. We're
Yes,
ready.
indeed.
All right, we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.